Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
If Woody had gone right to the police, this would never have happened. If Woody had gone right to the police, this would never have happened. If Woody had gone right to the police, this would never have happened. If Woody had gone right to the police.
Shut up! Hello, sports junkies. Today's Wednesday, November 20th. Welcome to the Sports Kings from Queens. This is episode 139 of Gino. Joined by Kevin, joined by Darren. You can catch us wherever you get your podcasts. Like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook. Follow us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram. Give us a look. Join our pages. We'd love to hear from you. Feel free to drop us some questions, some comments. We'll be sure to get back to you. Thanks for tuning in. Let's get it started tonight, guys. Episode 139, it's an NFL show only. We'll do another episode, 140. We'll cover everybody else in a little while. We'll start it off with the New York Jets. Indianapolis beats the Jets 28-27. Jets fall to 3-8. Jets suffered a heartbreaking loss in his return after a two-week absence, benching from Colts starting quarterback Anthony Richardson. He led a dramatic comeback, scoring his second rushing touchdown in the game with 40 seconds left to secure the victory. Richardson, 272-1 with two rushing touchdowns. Rodgers threw two touchdowns. Breece Hall had a rushing and a receiving touchdown. Aldrich, as interim coach, is now 1-5. We'll talk about the second part of this in a little while. Let's talk about the actual game. Kev, talk to me about the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, you just looking at the game itself, some good, a lot of bad. Offensive side, the good. You know, they put up 27 points. It was their highest total of the season. Good job there. Breece, 78 yards rushing, 43 yards receiving. I mean, that's 120 yards total offense and two touchdowns. Good job by Breece.
Good fantasy day.
Good fantasy day. Yep. The bad, though. Garrett Wilson, 8 targets, 4 catches for 18 yards. How the hell does Garrett Wilson catch 4 passes for 18 yards? What type of crap play calling is that? Garrett Wilson should be taken at the very least, slant 10 yards down the field and turn them into 20, 25-yard gains at worst. There's no way in hell you should be having 4 catches for 18 yards. The offense for the first 25 minutes of the damn game was ineffective. Their first 5 drives, they had 4 3 and outs, and their other drive, I think out of desperation, Ulbrich decided to go for it on 4th and 1 at the 39. You know, try the little tight end, you know, come up, take the snap. That works for every other damn team except the damn Jets. And he gets stuffed. And then, you know, the last drive of the game. You know, we're down 1, and Aaron Rodgers comes out there. Well, I'll put drive in quotation marks because hell of a drive. You know, Rodgers gets pressured on first down, then decides to throw the ball sideways like he's a first-year rookie, not a 20-year veteran. And it winds up Conklin, luckily, was there to recover it. Loss of 13 yards on first down. He hits Breece over the middle. Gets a big break because the Colts decide to land on top of Breece. Gets a delay of game penalty. Stops the clock. Gives him a chance, you know. Third down, he takes a sack like he's a damn rookie. Terrible job by the offense in those situations. The defense. I can think of one play they made the start of the second half, and they made the strip sack of Richardson that they recovered in deep in Colts territory that the Jets turned into a touchdown. Other than that, they were bad. Anthony Richardson comes into the game completing 44% of his passes. He's at 66% against his damn defense. Second half, when the offense finally got going, a little back and forth, the Jets took a 24-16 lead on a Kenny Yeboah touchdown. Congratulations, Kenny. You blow it on your first touchdown catch. Colts come right back down the field. 8 plays, 70 yards, and 250. They're lucky Anthony Richardson has no touch. Otherwise, that's a tie game. He had the two-point conversion right there. Just overthrew the guy. Then, here's your bad coaching. Now, I'm going to compare and contrast this to the Bills. Late in the game, 2:41 left. 4th and 2 at the 17. Up 2 with 2:41 left. The Bills up 2 against Kansas City with 2:27 left at the 26. Jets tried to draw them off sides, which I think the Colts expected. They didn't fall for it. They kicked the field goal to go up by 5 with a terrible defense. The Bills decide, you know, Sean McDermott says, I'm going to try to win the damn game here. And he has Josh Allen go for it on 4th down. Beautiful run. He had at least a 1st down guaranteed. Made a couple of nice moves. Got the touchdown to clinch the win. Instead, we give up the we settle for the field goal. 27-22. My wife turns to me and says, you know what's going to happen here? I says, yeah, the Colts are going to come down and score a touchdown, win the damn game. And that's exactly what they did. There was no resistance by this defense. It was 6 plays, 70 yards, easy. Bang, 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 touchdown, game over. Just another bad performance by this Jets team. Darren, I know I touched on a lot of points, but I'm sure you've got more.
Did you? Did you touch on anything? I don't know. What the hell did you leave me?
I don't know.
They come out 9 plays, 9 yards, 4 minutes and 30 seconds of possession. Outstanding. And the first three drives. How in the – it's Tyler Conklin. It's not Travis Kelce. I don't give a shit how well it works for every other team. He should not be getting the snap when I have Braylon Allen back there that gets a yard every time I give him the damn ball. I don't even understand what the play call was. It's so stupid. This team doesn't deserve to think that they're going to get Tyler Conklin, who breaks zero tackles all season long for the last 3 years, is going to sit there and going to run it up their gut. I didn't understand what they were trying to do there. And yet they still found a way to cut it to 13-7. Start of second half, obviously, you said about the forced fumble, and they got in there right away. But the next drive is the key. The Colts convert a 3rd and 13 and then a 3rd and 9. After the Jets take the 1-point lead, both on passes to Downs, because all of a sudden neither Reed nor Sauce can cover anybody.
Yeah.
All right. They end up with a 56-yard field goal. Gaze long for the season, of course. No problem. 16-14. After a few punts, the fair catch interference puts the Jets in field goal range. They do nothing with it, but Carlson hits a 58-yarder, which neither one of us expected to go through. But it went through, and the Jets take the lead right back. Then the Jets get the 13-play, 53-yard drive. They convert the 3rd and 14. They get a 4th and 2 at the 17. They kick in – oh, I'm sorry, that was the end, when they kicked the field goal to go 27-22. Yes, you have to go for it there. The one thing I'll disagree with, John Kev, the fact that you're comparing Aaron Rodgers at 40 to Josh Allen, who can outrun anybody, it's a totally different team.
Totally different
Buffalo
team,
can
yes.
do this all day long, as can Philly, as can Washington, or any team that has a mobile quarterback. The Jets are limited. The quarterback can't move.
I'm not asking Rodgers to run the ball. I'm asking him to make a play.
I understand it, but the play that Buffalo ran was not a play. It was like, I'm going to run Josh Allen, and you're not going to be able to tackle him. And yep. You know what? You're 100% right. They weren't able to tackle. Nor will most teams be able to do it. Same with Hurts and same with these guys. I sit there and I watch this team and you know, and a lot goes on Rodgers and stuff like that. And Rodgers hasn't been great and he hasn't even been good. Probably hasn't even been fair. He's been probably slightly less than fair. And yet he could still go down as the greatest touchdown passing quarterback in Jet history this year. And he has not been good. But the fact is, when you go through this team all season long, I will blame the Steeler loss on Aaron Rodgers. They're up 15-6. He throws that bad pick right before the half, and it turned the entire momentum. I'll blame the Viking loss on Aaron Rodgers. He threw 3 picks. He'd never done that in his career, and he did that. He was awful, and they still had a chance to win, but they didn't find a way to do it. But I can't blame Aaron Rodgers because the defense can't stop anybody against the Cardinals. I can't blame him giving up 8 straight scoring drives against the Niners. I can't crush him about giving up yards to Richardson this week, who's inaccurate as anything I've ever seen, but is competing 3rd and long plays. This is coaching. This is personnel. I mean, I didn't realize, maybe you did, that Saleh had such a key to this defense because Ulbrich, these guys aren't doing anything for him. They all love him, they say. I mean, they love him so much that they're one and whatever with him. It doesn't matter whether they're 1-5 now with him. Yeah. I mean, it's like – he obviously doesn't have the scheme that Saleh had to get these guys in the right position, because everybody has regressed. Everybody. They've had two good Thursday nights the whole season. That's it. They played Thursday night well against the Patriots. They played Thursday night well against the Texans. Everything else that they've done this entire season, even the win against the Titans, was crap. They've lost, what, five games by 6 points or less. I'll give you that. But the fact of the matter is the defense never gets a big stop and the offense never makes a big play. And when you're watching the end of the game and the quarterback has to be able to move, he can't. I can't crush him on it. He's 40, 41, whatever he is now. He used to be able to slide and move. He just can't do it anymore. So the offensive line, when they're rushing three, they should be able to find a way to make sure he doesn't get touched. But they can't. The offensive line, Tippmann's regressed. You saw it on the Conklin play. Tippmann's got to be able to push that forward. Yeah. I'm not saying he's got to be Jason Kelce, but he's got to find a freaking way to help the tight end get a yard. He didn't have a chance. Tippmann has regressed. This entire team has regressed. It's awful. And now as we get into the next part of it, Gino, now it's time to break it down. But this team, when you see it on YouTube, you look at the video, right now I have a picture of Saleh, and I have Douglas behind me and my bald head in between of the two morons and the one in the middle that picked them to win the Super Bowl. I was just being optimistic. I really didn't think they'd win the Super Bowl because I don't believe they'll ever win a Super Bowl in my lifetime. But I did think this team was going to be very good. And this is the biggest snow job I ever received in my life. G?
All right. So as a result of the game, I will use that as the key factor because it hadn't happened up until that point. Tuesday morning, Jets GM Joe Douglas is fired after 5.5 season, a record of 30-64. We all know Saleh was fired last month. Joe Douglas goes, and now the Jets are interim coach, interim GM. Let's talk about that first, and we'll go to the implications of what's going to have to happen after this. Kev, talk to me.
Yeah, well, Joe Douglas's contract was up after the year anyway.
Agreed.
So he was going to be fired, period. Woody did this for two reasons. One, to get a jump on everybody else to try to find front office person.
But he can't interview anybody that's associated to a team until after the season ends, though.
That's the problem.
But you can start at least unofficially putting out feelers.
Yeah.
And the fact that Douglas is not there, I think if people are ethical, you never talk about a position that's filled.
You can have
the off the record type of things. Yeah, Douglas is gone now, so you can have the off the record type of things and at least gauge some interest. Woody seems to be a big problem now, because all of a sudden now today you're hearing things about, oh well, you know, after the Denver game they had this big meeting. Usually he meets with the coach and the GM after the games. That's been his MO for a couple of years now. And all of a sudden, after the Denver game, he's got the coach, he's got the GM, he's got coordinators, he's got other front office personnel. He's throwing out ideas. Oh, maybe we should bench Aaron Rodgers. For what? Tyrone Taylor? Or Tyrod Taylor?
Either one.
At this point, you know, I think Tyrone might fit just as well on this team as Tyrod.
Tyrod's the only guy that hasn't played badly yet. I don't think he's had a snap. No, he did early, but you know, not much.
Yeah. You know, is Woody turning into Jerry Jones in front of our eyes? I always thought Woody was more of the hands-off type guy, but when you start hearing the things about him now being involved with team meetings, he's in the classroom, in the position meetings, you know, talking to people. I don't know how much of this is piling on Woody Johnson and how much has been going on for a while. We don't know the inner workings of the Jets. The Jets keep this very much in-house, very close to the vest.
Kev, my only response to that, Darren, before I get to you, direct response to you on that is, if this was after two seasons and there's close to a 500 record, okay, maybe he's 30-64.
Yeah,
you're
kind of letting those anyway.
Exactly, and the way the whole thing with Saleh going first and now him. You know, you got me. Woody may be to blame for some of this. He may not.
Well,
you know,
the Jets are the rare franchise that has both the coach and the GM directly report to the owner.
Yeah, I know. That's
it's not a chain of command like most other, like almost every other franchise has, I believe. The other thing is Woody probably wants this done quicker so that, you know, come January 20th, I think he wants to be in London again and become the ambassador again.
That's I want him to be in London as well.
And at this point, I'd drive him to the airport if I could.
Darren, what do you think?
Well, I mean, the things you're hearing about Woody, he stopped the Huff extension. He fired Saleh without going over with Douglas.
Yeah.
He basically took Douglas's power away the entire year. Wanted to bench Rodgers after week four. Wanted to bench Tony Adams for no, because he wasn't happy with Tony Adams.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a million things to watch on this defense. Tony Adams is one of them, but he's not the only one of them. I mean, you hear all these things, and right now what you're saying, I mean, what I'm thinking about this team is how much do you just break it all down now? How much do you see what you can get for Garrett Wilson? How much do you see what you can get for Sauce Gardner? How much do you see what you can get for Breece Hall, even though it won't be a first, no matter what every Jet fan thinks, because running backs aren't going to get you a first? How much do you think you can get for Quinnen Williams? What do you think you can get for any of these guys? Do you want to just accumulate? Do you want to just start completely over? And it sucks to say it like that because this team has been rebuilding for 14 freaking years. But that's really where we are. G?
All right. So let's now we'll go to the implications of this, right? So the big thing is that who do you think could be coming here to either coach or be the GM?
Nobody wants this job.
No, listen, wait.
Nobody wants this freaking job. We don't get the pick of the litter, even if we go first, Gino. We don't.
That's not where I'm going with this, though. Wait. So the question then becomes, because if you're bringing one of these established coaches in here, okay,
they don't want it.
I'm just, Darren, follow me.
I'm telling you. I'm following you. They don't want it. Go ahead.
If it's somebody like Gruden, who's been floating around the last day and a half on Twitter all over the place, he's not going to want to come in here and start from scratch. I know where you're going with this, and that's why
I want to say about Gruden. Gruden hasn't done anything in 20 years. Why the hell do I want Gruden?
I'm telling you who's been floating around.
I understand who's floating around. I don't want him.
I'm telling you the names that have been floating around.
I know all the names that are floating around.
Okay, so if you're bringing in one of these established guys, he's not going to want to break it down year one. Right. If you are bringing in a young guy who you think can do this, and I'll give you the guy, and that's Vrabel. Vrabel's going to come in here and want to strip the whole thing down, which means Rodgers is gone too. So,
but I'm just saying, if you're Mike Vrabel and there are four or five jobs out there, you really want this one?
I'd rather go to Chicago.
Well, if you're
I'd rather go to Chicago, I'd rather go to the Giants if that's open. I'd rather go to Dallas if that opens up.
Wait, time out. Why would you rather go to the Giants? They got the same issues you have.
No, the Giants play hard. They have an owner that's not meddling.
Listen, if you're Vrabel, the thing would be you want to rebuild this from scratch.
Belichick hates the Jets, and he's a Belichick disciple.
I'm just saying
that's my take. I would love to get Vrabel. Of all
the coaches out there, I think Vrabel's one of the top coaches that are out there, but
I think so.
Does he want complete control? Does he want to name GM? Does he want say on that? Or are we going to go the other way and figure out what the hell do we want to do with the front office to get a competent VP of football? Have one voice here, not Woody Johnson, decide this is the direction of the franchise. Here's my GM, Mr. GM. Who do you want coaching the team? That's what they got to figure out first and foremost. I don't care who they bring in the coach or everything else. Until they get this damn organization straightened out, it's not going to change.
Gino, I'm probably being a little blustery, and I'm sorry. I don't mean to be nasty. I honestly can't imagine anyone, if any of this is true about the owner, I have to imagine that any decent coach is scared off from this.
All right, listen.
Anyone with respect. And then you get the Ben Johnsons of the world, and he's going to want to come here? He's going to have to pick in a litter. Listen, I feel like we're going to settle for a fourth-rate coordinator.
To me, if you're coming in as GM or head coach, the first thing to the owner is, what are you doing with Rodgers?
To be honest, he's 49 million dead salary cap, or he plays for you, I can't imagine anyone wants him to play. G,
I agree, yeah. but if he's going to be here, it determines which route you have to follow. Specifically, year one, if you're bringing somebody in here. It does. You know what I mean? Because if you are bringing someone in here and the thought process is we are not bringing back Rodgers, okay, then your whole theory about maybe breaking a lot of this down, you can go into full effect with it. But if you're not, then you can't go into that process. And I'm not saying the process is right or wrong at this point, but you can't go into that process. You can't start breaking everything down if you're going to have Rodgers here another year, because then what the hell is he going to do?
I mean, the fact is that I don't even know if they would, you know, I don't even know if they want him to. I mean, do you really want him to play another year off this? Listen, the fact of the matter is that the second year off the Achilles, maybe he's going to be better. Maybe he'll be more confident. Who the heck knows? But the age is what scares you.
I agree.
He couldn't do it at 40 to 41, 41 to 42. Doesn't seem like it's going to flow.
Look at it. This whole season, he looks very old to me.
He does.
Yeah.
And he is. For a football player, he is. I get that. But to me, he just looks so old. Kev, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, you know, if he looked, well, the problem is if he looked even good, we wouldn't have this discussion because it just would have had a couple more wins and we wouldn't be dealing with this situation right now. But looking forward, if he even looked good, you feel comfortable bringing him back next year. Okay. With the way he looks right now, I was thrilled when they got Rodgers 2 years ago. It hasn't worked out. Time to cut bait.
I'm going to say this, though, and it's going to be a little opposite of what you're saying, but not completely. This team legitimately, if Zuerlein could kick a field goal, could be 5-6, 6-5. I'm not trying to be rude. Yeah. If the defense could step up and stop Tony Richardson at home, yeah, they could be 5-6, 6-5. If this team could stop Jacoby Brissett, even though one of those was the kicker game as well. So, I mean, you know, it's the same game where he left 4 points on the table.
But you Zuerlein should have left 6 points
on the table against Buffalo. He left 3 points on the table against Denver. I mean, and these are all games that they were within the margin of losing, so to speak. But even as he's not been Aaron Rodgers, but he is, as much as he's the problem, because everybody just, a lot of people just don't like him. They don't like his personality. They don't like what he does. They don't like, and we don't like the fact that he can't move in the pocket anymore at all. He can't even slide in the pocket a little bit to avoid pass rushing. The fact is that he's probably done enough to have this team 6-5, and nobody would be saying a damn thing about it. But the fact is that the kicker fell apart. Who knew? But he did. The defense fell apart. Who expected it? But it did. The offense hasn't put up more than 27 points, like you pointed out before, Kev. And you know, you expected this team to put in the 30s a couple of times. Zach Wilson got him into the 30s, for crying out loud. So he hasn't been good. He hasn't even been fair. But at the same point in time, he's probably done enough to have this team at 5-6, 6-5, and in the playoff hunt. And yet, all the variables around them, we all just pick on Rodgers. And there's a lot to pick on. He has not been good. He throws for 173 last week against a Colt secondary that's not very good. And a lot of that was dump offs to Breece. He was 43 yards of it was to Breece. So it wasn't like he was picking apart, and Garrett Wilson was a non-factor. And since Lazard's gone, you almost feel like he's a little lost. And Davante Adams hasn't worked out. And you traded a pick for him, and you traded a pick for all these guys. And it's just crap. And I don't know. And Gino, I'm being blustery about it because I can't imagine anybody wanting to coach this team right now. I can't imagine anyone saying that I want to work for this owner. I want to come in there and turn the Jets around outside of Rex Ryan, who we've already been there, done that. The only guy that wants the freaking job. And at the end of the day, he might just get it because nobody else wants to come here.
Okay.
Maybe we'll get Aaron Glenn, who's an average defensive coordinator from Detroit because he's a former Jet. That's about it.
Yes. Yes or no answers. Kev, do you want Rodgers back?
No.
Darren?
No.
Okay.
And I love Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I wanted this to work out so badly. I like Rodgers too. I
mean, names floating around. Just give me yes or no's, okay? The name that is not going to get floated around and hasn't is Belichick. We know that.
He won't come here. I know.
The name floated around for a GM has been Tampa Bay capologist Mike Greenberg, who is a Long Island guy with 20 years experience in the NFL.
If I knew anything about him, I'd jump in. I can't say I know enough, bud.
Yeah, it's not like Tampa's a well-run organization.
Coaches, I'm going to give names. Tell me yes or no. You may have multiple yeses, may have multiple no's. Mike Vrabel.
Of course, yes.
Yes.
John Gruden.
No.
No.
Rex Ryan.
No. I mean, they've done that.
At this moment, from what I've seen on Twitter, those are the only names being thrown around.
These are the guys out of work right now. That's it.
Yeah.
The game is over. And you're not going to know any of these other coaches that may be available until the season's over, until Black Monday, until you know who else is on the market. But I think you're right, Kev. I think the plan needs to be you're going to go get a GM. The GM's going to hire you coach. And Woody, I'll use the Johnson family because we don't know if it'll be Woody. The Johnson family will give them whatever, a four-year contract or whatever, and you're going to go with this GM and coach for the next 4 years after that, and you'll make a decision on Rodgers. I mean, listen, for me, if I was a Jet fan, there's no way I want Rodgers back now. You're going to do this, do it. Can't keep half-assing it. I mean,
the frustrating part right now as a Jet fan is that you need a strong football voice in the front office. Who's got the experience with a successfully run franchise? And I'm talking, the Kansas Cities, the Pittsburghs, that type of consistent winning franchise. And I think we thought we had that with Joe Douglas.
Where did he come from? Ozzie Newsome. He learned from Howie Roseman.
Baltimore and Philly, right?
Yep.
So you thought this was a guy, okay, yes, it's his first GM job, but you thought coming from successful organizations, he'd have an idea. And when you take a look, unfortunately, I'm not even going back to the last two drafts. He's had some hits, but you go back to 2019, his first draft. Quinnen, no argument there. He's underperformed this year. No twos, but then Polite and Adoga in the third round. Garbage. 2020. Mekhi Becton. Denzel Mims. Ashton Davis was still with the team. And Zuniga. Terrible draft. 21, you had Zach. You had Elijah Vera Tucker, who unfortunately with the injuries has regressed. And you had Elijah Moore, who you couldn't wait to ship out of town. 2022 was Garrett Wilson. Sauce. Johnson. Great draft up top. Hall, Ruckert in the third round. That's been his best draft.
And Ruckert's been a bit of a disappointment, too.
And we don't know about 23 and 24 yet. It's too early to tell. But those 19 to 21 drafts, except for Quinnen and to some degree AVT, there's nothing out of 3 years of drafts. These are the guys that should be making up the bulk of your team in year five, in year six of their NFL careers. And we don't have that.
Okay.
That's a GM and scouting and everything and personnel department issue. And that runs through the organization, not just coaching, not just the players, but through the entire freaking organization. And it starts at the top with Woody Johnson.
Okay. All right. Any other closing comments before we move on, guys?
Yeah, just get a bye week so I don't have to watch them lose this week. And they'll win enough games, and they're not picking the top five. And they'll find a way to take two or three down the stretch and find a way to get to 5-12 or 6-11 and just make it a little worse than it is already.
And what do you hear when there's no quarterbacks anyway to be drafted early?
Well, listen, we say that, but let's go back. Remember how everybody was so high on Mayfield and Darnold and Rosen. And, Josh Allen's the only one of those top 11 picks that made
unbelievable.
It. And then Lamar Jackson was great in the back end. These guys aren't always right.
Trevor Lawrence.
He was a generational talent.
He hasn't proven
Now he's an average quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
So you don't know if Ward or if Beck or, Shador, any of these guys comes out and becomes a player. I wouldn't be surprised, by the way, is a name that that no one's mentioned yet. If Bieniemy's name resurfaces, he's the offensive coordinator at UCLA. He's always had opportunities to be offensive coordinators in the NFL, but he's kind of that guy that's a little bit of a tough ass and no one expects anything out of him. So maybe you give him a crappy roster and see what he can do with it. I don't know.
I think it might be time to go for an offensive coach.
Yeah, the defensive coaches have really worked out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not counting Adam Gase because he was just awful.
Well, and the Jets have done those. They had Adam Gase, and Idzik is a 2-year GM. I mean, they've made mistakes that are so egregious.
McCagnan.
Oh God, I didn't hate Mike McCagnan at first, but he grew on me to hate him.
Yeah.
And I like Joe Douglas early, and he fell apart. And I love the Saleh hiring, even though Dan Campbell was out there. I thought Saleh was the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
I mean, love Douglas's decisions. In the moment in time, I don't necessarily disagree with a lot of them. They just haven't worked out for some reason.
Yeah.
It's this cursed franchise.
It's the culture of the franchise that has to be changed. And you got to find the right person that wants to come in here and change it and can do it.
Yep.
Everybody's saying, oh, he's got to sell the team. He's never selling this freaking team.
Oh.
He's got the Johnson & Johnson fortune. He has no reason to sell it. He raised ticket prices on a 3-8 team. And people will pay it. Anyway, that's it for the Jets.
Speaking of quarterback talk, let's go over to the other New York team. The New York Giants had a bye week, but still made the news. They decided to bench Daniel Jones. It's probably the last game we'll see Jones play as a Giant. Tommy DeVito getting the start over Drew Lock. Drew Lock will be the backup. They already brought in Tim Boyle as the number three quarterback, so Daniel Jones is now demoted to the fourth spot. Listen, part of this is he's got a $23 million injury guarantee they don't want to have to pay. In 70 games in his career, Jones had 70 touchdowns and 47 interceptions. So, you know, this has not been a good he's never shown big pocket presence back there. He comes right out of the read after his first look. And that's probably the end of the Daniel Jones experiment. Darren?
Yeah, when you look at it, right? I mean, Tommy Cutlett's time, he's back. And you had to go with him over Locke. You know what Locke is. I mean, Locke's going to be your backup. You brought him in to be your backup. He's still there. In basketball, I understand that you need to have a certain amount of guys. I don't know how Boyle keeps getting jobs. I mean, in the NFL, you can find any rookie to go back there. Does he get the best sandwiches in town when they send him out for food during the quarterback meetings? I mean, the guy can't play. I don't even understand what the whole thing is about Boyle, but that's a story for another day. You look at this Giant team and, you know, the Daniel Jones, I said it right after the Carolina, I said it before the Carolina game. I said, this has to be the last game this guy plays as a Giant. And the funniest thing you said, Gino, was a part of it was due to the injury. The whole thing was due because they don't want to pay him $23 million. No part of it. The whole thing is that otherwise they were just going to get beat by like a rented car, you know, just beat him up. But instead they just keep him out because they don't want to pay this guy $23 million because they can't believe they paid him $80 already. And, over the last 2 years off of one playoff game. Again, another owner that I think is completely overrated. Wellington was a great owner. John tries to get involved too much. He should just shut his mouth. Stop doing interviews. Nobody wants to hear your mouth. Nobody wants to hear what you've done because you didn't do anything. Your father revolutionized the game. You inherited it. Shut up. Enough of the John Mara thing. I'm so tired of hearing what a great owner he is. He's crap. He's not the Pittsburgh ownership. He's not one of those guys that's legendary. The Giants have done nothing under his watch, and it's time to move on. Giants have talent on defense. They haven't shown it this year either. Simple fact is that this team seems to come in and not be prepared. You can't lose to Carolina and Germany with everybody watching. Just can't do that. Week off. We'll see what Cutlets can do. Again, I'd be stunned if he's really good and is more than a backup for his career, but at least it gives the Giants a little excitement to watch for going down the stretch, and Giant fans get something to cheer for. And I hope to God he does well. I mean, his agent was a bit of an ass, but outside of that, you know, the kid was somewhat likable, I thought. Kev, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, once he got his feet settled, you know, under him, he won 3 games in a row last year. Looked like an NFL quarterback, at least last year, for a while. This is a chance for him to have the rest of the season. I mean, there's no reason at all to go to Drew Lock unless Tommy Cutlets gets injured here. Darren, I think many people must be impressed with that one touchdown pass he threw in college. And I mean, literally that one touchdown pass.
Boyle was awful all the way through his career. I don't understand how this guy gets a job. He carries a better water bottle. I don't know what he does.
But the fact that, you know, they even bring him in so that there's zero chance to have to pay Daniel Jones $23 million. You know, this guy broke the bank on one good year.
And one great game. And one excellent game against the Vikings. Excellent. You played excellent.
Playoff game. And Dable's still living off that one great playoff game.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, Dable, I mean, I walk him out of the sidelines. I wouldn't want to play for him. This guy's a freaking lunatic. He always looks like he's angry.
And Shane hasn't done that much either, by the way. I mean, let's be honest.
No. You know, they're gonna be in the same shape as the Jets here. I think they're gonna have to. Shane, you know, it's third year after following Gettleman. Maybe he gets another chance here. Maybe he gets to pick one more coach. I mean, I just don't see how Dable survives this because I think he stinks. And, you know, they're gonna be starting over again with a new quarterback next year, just like the Jets.
I think, honestly, I think Dable's still here another 2 years. I don't think he deserves it, but I think the way the Giants are, he'll be here another 2 years. They'll draft a quarterback, and they're going to give him 2 years with this quarterback.
Because he did a great job developing Daniel Jones.
Listen, I agree with you. I'm just telling you what I think. That's what
He's the offensive Eric Mangini.
The funny part about it is Daniel Jones will be in this league next year, and he'll be a prominent backup for somebody, and someone will be very excited that he's their backup quarterback.
Tell me.
For a game or two, he could do some things. Listen, he's no worse off than a lot of the backups you watch in this league right now. He's just not good enough to be – he's not a winner and he's not a starter. But for spurts with limited offense, I do think there's something about him that you could kind of get into.
Talent-wise, they're not equal, but style of play, couldn't you see him being very similar to backing up in Buffalo? A similar style of play to Josh Allen. Not as talented, don't get me wrong. But I think they both have, you know, the running ability to break some tackles, make some plays with their feet.
That's all.
Josh Allen's a better thrower, more talent. But
DeVito, you know,
but as a backup.
Daniel Jones has no pocket presence. Well, I'm telling you, I'm going to make one argument to you, though,
Gino.
He looks at the read. He looks at his first read, and if it's not there, he takes off. He never goes through the full read, ever.
Darren? The only point I'm going to make is 5 years in the league, 5 years in the league for this player, do you think that he looked worse or better than Geno Smith through his first 5 years of his career? I'm not trying to be funny with that.
No.
Boy. He's probably similar. I'm not saying he's better, but I don't think he's worse.
Okay.
If you get the right coach that unlocks something, if you get the right coach that unlocks something, maybe he becomes a serviceable backup. I'm not saying he's going to be Geno as a starter because I don't think his ceiling was ever as high as Geno's as a thrower.
Yeah,
I think that Geno at West Virginia really, I mean, even though he didn't get picked in the second round, really threw the ball around the yard pretty well. Yeah. I just think that overall IQ and his running ability is probably superior. That's just my take on it.
Okay. I'm going to disagree with you, but okay.
Do you think Geno is superior to the first 5 years?
I think Geno Smith throws the ball a hell of a lot better than Daniel Jones.
Through the first 5 years of his career?
For the first 2 games of his career.
We didn't see that with 2 years with the Jets.
I saw him for 2 years, and I saw him for 1 year with the Giants where I didn't see anything. So you might have saw something I didn't. But early in his career, I didn't see crap.
I saw a few Geno games. I mean, talk about feast or famine. He had that one game where he had the perfect passer rating, and then he had like two on either side of it where he had zero.
Yeah,
he seems
confused by defenses worse than Jones to me. But at the same time, I'm not saying that you're wrong, Gino. I'm just saying that I watched him very closely.
Listen, I've had this discussion with a lot of people, and maybe it's me, but I don't see it with Daniel Jones.
I never see him
drop back and look at two options. I never see it. So, you know, although he's running, he's not running. He's going to one option and then he's running. It's never he's dropping back, looking at three options and, I'm going to take off for 20 yards. No, never. He drops back. He's looking at a receiver. He's not there. He's off. It happens every time.
Well, the funniest part about it, though, and I think Pete Carroll was a big part of the Geno thing. Because remember when they got rid of Wilson and they were going to make Geno the starter and everyone's like, oh, they're just rebuilding. They're going to have Geno watch for a year. And now all of a sudden it's like, okay, Geno's the guy. I mean, you know, sometimes it's a real coach that builds a real confidence in a player. And I'm not saying that he could go and be, you know, because, I mean, Mike Tomlin, you know, obviously he's done a nice job with Russell Wilson this year, but we saw Mitch Trubisky do nothing for him. So, I mean, it's not everybody. I mean, but, again, there are quarterbacks that blossom a little later in their 30s. I don't know. Whatever it is, Daniel Jones has not been good. He did not deserve the contract he got. And unfortunately for the Giants, they're in a rebuild again, and we'll see what happens with them.
I mean, never know. Maybe Jones needs a coach that's going to be rah-rah for him rather than a coach that every time he makes a mistake is going to come off with the red Dable looks like he's ready to kill him.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I mean, you know, sometimes it's personality. You never know. We're not there.
Okay. All right, let's go around the NFL. Last week, Thursday night, Philadelphia beat Washington 26-18. Philly goes to 8-2. My Washington team to 7-4. Hurts overcame a slow start to lead the Eagles to a comeback win. Barkley, 146 yards and two late touchdowns to seal the victory despite some strong efforts by Brian Robinson Jr. and Zach Ertz. Washington's offense faltered on some key fourth quarter plays, missed an opportunity to take control of the NFC East. Jaden Daniels is not at his best. I thought Philadelphia played – their defense played him really well. They held him under 200 yards throwing, held him 7 carries, 18 yards rushing. Philadelphia takes over the NFC East. Darren?
Well, one thing you said, Hurts just hasn't been good, by the way. I mean, you watch Jalen Hurts, he's definitely regressed this year. There's something that's not remotely the same about this quarterback right now. Daniels was okay. He wasn't great, and Philly played him well, and the games are more physical when you play in the division, and, you know, he experienced that a little bit. But the Washington's run defense just kind of fell apart down the stretch. It seemed like it got tired a little bit. Interesting stat on Saquon, who, by the way, looks like an amazing signing, and the fans after the game are chanting, "Thank you, Giants," for getting him, which is not something you hear every single day in Philadelphia. So Saquon leads the league in most carries, most touches that get down to the 1 yard line. He's got 9.
I saw it.
Yeah.
Okay. The next play, Hurts has 7 rushing touchdowns, 1 fumble for the other one, and the other one, they gave it to Saquon and he lost the yard. So the amount of touchdowns Saquon could have this year is pretty impressive to me. And again, Washington led 10-6 going into the fourth. Eagles put up 20 in the fourth, or whatever it was. 20 in the fourth to put it away, 26-18. It basically was 26-10. They scored that late touchdown to make it look a little closer than it was. Washington is probably not quite ready for prime time yet, but it's an improving team.
I agree. Yeah,
I think Daniels has hit a little bit of the wall there. They're the team that could have used a bye week. You know, maybe Dallas is their bye week this week. They've got Tennessee, I think, next week, and then they're bye.
Yep.
You know, even if they go 1-1 in these next two, they should be able to win both. But even if they go 1-1, get to the bye week with 8 wins.
Yep.
They'll be in fine shape to finish out. I mean, I think the NFC is still weak enough that they still look pretty comfortable for a playoff spot, which would be an incredible accomplishment with Dan.
I agree. I'm completely agreement with you.
And the big thing there was, you know, you have Saquon scored his first touchdown 19-10, and then, you know, unfortunately, Daniels got picked and Barkley scored 2 plays later and ball game was over at that point.
Yeah.
You know, 19-10, you know, even if you come down, if you're able to get any score, keep the game alive, but didn't happen.
Yep. All right. Pittsburgh beat Baltimore 18-16. Pittsburgh goes to 8-2, Baltimore 7-4. Basil kicks 6 field goals, counting for all the Pittsburgh points. Steelers bottled up Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore running game, only allowed 124 yards total rushing. On the last drive, Baltimore scored with 1:11 left on a 9-play, 74-yard drive. Lamar had an incomplete pass on a failed two-point conversion to go for the tie. Darren?
Well, yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh 6 field goals, and they've done this a couple times this year. It's going to catch up to them if they play this way in the playoffs. They have to put the ball in the end zone.
Yep.
You're not going to win the games. They always bottle up Lamar. They did it again this week. It's really not a surprise that they did it. And that incomplete pass on a two-point conversion was a designed run to the left, which I always hate for a right-handed quarterback because then he has to try to throw a flip up in there, and there was no chance of it being completed. Pittsburgh was the better team throughout the game, and they won the game.
And Kevin? Two things. Where is Derrick Henry at least on the field on the two-point conversion?
It's just stupid coaching.
And you know, Justin Tucker, who's been Mr. Automatic, I know they're a little longer, but he missed 47 and 50 yarders in this game, too.
Which he's having Justin the worst Tucker. Year of his career by a lot, Kevin.
Yeah.
Okay. Seattle beat San Francisco 20-17. Seattle goes to 5-5. San Francisco to 5-5. Geno Smith led a clutch 80-yard drive, capped by his 13-yard touchdown scramble in the final seconds for a crucial win. Snapped a tough stretch with just one win in their previous six games. 49ers plagued by some late game struggles, missed some key players like Bosa. They blew another fourth quarter lead, dropping into a three-way tie for second in the NFC West. NFC West is led at the moment by Arizona at 6-4 and everybody else 5-5. Kev?
Yeah, that's already the third time this year against divisional teams, divisional opponents, that they've blown a lead in the last 2 minutes. And it happens once a year. This is now three games. That kills them in the tiebreakers. You know, if they hold on to two of the three leads, they're sitting with seven wins and in first place.
Yeah, and San Francisco's not playing well, obviously. That's easy to say. Seattle was missing some players as well that were key players also. Geno had never beaten San Francisco before. This was his first time. And, you know, the fact that they allowed him to run it in where they let him run it in, that was a scramble with no timeouts left. There was a lot of risk there.
Yeah.
And he was able to get in there and really untouched and just kind of stuck the ball across nice and easy from 13 yards out. Listen, that division is probably the funnest division right now in all of the NFL.
I probably agree with you at this point. All right. Buffalo beat Kansas City 30-21, handing Kansas City its first loss. They moved to 9-1, Buffalo to 9-2. Josh Allen's 26-yard touchdown run on a 4th-and-2 sealed the victory, keeping Buffalo in the hunt for the AFC's top seed. Allen counted for 3 touchdowns, 2 passing, 1 run. Led a resilient performance. Bills defense clinched the win with a late interception, handing the Chiefs their first loss after 15 straight wins. Mahomes had 3 touchdowns. He also had 2 interceptions, only threw for 196 yards. Darren?
Interesting game in this one. I'm gonna say something to you guys that I was saying when the game was on that most people probably would disagree with. When the Chiefs scored to cut it to 23-20, I would have went for 2. And I would have went to 2 for one reason. So a touchdown keeps me in the game in a one possession game. Even if I miss it, I was gonna a score was gonna make me down 2 possessions anyway. I wanted to see if I, because a field goal still ties the game for me, and I would have done it. I would have honestly done it. I said it the moment it happened. I'm like, go for 2 right here. If you get it, you get the 23-22. And even if they score a touchdown, 30-22, I still am a one possession game, because once it's 2 possessions, the game's over. I always find these analytics come up with all this crap, but they never seem to come up with the stuff that I think, which means that I'm analytically stupid probably. But at the same point in time, listen, Allen plays great against the Chiefs, as does Burrow. They really do. They play their best games against Kansas City. Allen was great, and that run was like all of his runs. He's just a big, strong, physical guy, and it's a lot. And with Kansas City, they don't have a lot of margin for error this year. Kelsey's a non-factor right now in the offense. I know he had a couple of good games earlier, but he struggled most of the year. Hopkins wasn't really involved either. They get Pacheco back this week, which gives them a nice two-headed monster with Pacheco and with Hunt, which will be a little bit different for them. But the tackles, the left tackle position with Wanya Morris is not the guy. And the right tackle position with Jawan Taylor is okay, but nothing great. And that's where Kansas City falls short, because Mahomes doesn't seem to have as much time back there, and Buffalo played him really well. Bills were the better team, deserved the win. They did win.
Yep.
Good win for the Bills.
Yep.
I don't even think the Bills are that good, by the way, when I watched them play. I think that this is a defense that's not very good. I don't think the Bills go very far at all this year.
They're very fortunate to be playing the AFC East.
I think so.
The fact that they have, what, a 5-game lead already?
Yeah, everybody sucks.
Wow. All right. Elsewhere, so Detroit beats Jacksonville 52-6. They moved to 9-1. Goff had 4 touchdowns. Lions also had 3 running touchdowns. They are only the third team in the Super Bowl era to win 3 of their first 10 games by 35 points. The other two, of course, the 69 Minnesota Vikings and the 73 Atlanta Falcons. I know you guys do that already.
Oh, yeah.
And Detroit right now, they have the biggest point differential in the NFL at plus 159. There's only one other team over 100, and that's Buffalo at 106. Detroit cruising right now at 9-1. Kev?
Yeah, they played Jacksonville State, was it?
Almost.
645 to 170. That's college level. Yeah. First seven drives, 7 touchdowns. 8th drive, I think they got tired and settled for the field goal. 9th drive, they ran out the clock. Unbelievable. Like,
if you didn't think that Goff was going to explode after the 5-interception game, you don't watch the NFL.
Yeah, 5 incompletions, 4 touchdown passes. You had Williams with 126 yards, St. Brown with 157, Gibbs with 123, and Montgomery with 95. They almost have 4 guys with over 100 total yards from scrimmage.
Yeah, just crazy.
It was incredible. How, I mean, when Detroit's rolling, my God, that offense is unstoppable. The weapons they have.
Agreed. All right. Houston beat Dallas 34-10. Mixon had 3 touchdowns. Houston goes to 7-4. New Orleans, they beat Cleveland 35-14. Taysom Hill had 3 touchdowns. Green Bay beat Chicago 20-19. Green Bay goes to 7-3. Green Bay gets the win on a blocked Chicago field goal at the buzzer. Darren?
Bears were the better team throughout this game. They really were. They outgained them. Caleb played well. First time he's played well in probably a month.
Yep.
Adunze showed up a little bit. Swift ran the ball a little bit. Love struggled a little bit. But, you know, at the end of the day, they get the blocked kick. Bad teams find ways to lose. Good teams find ways to win. Right, Gino? I learned Absolutely. That from somebody somewhere.
Absolutely.
So Cairo Santos in his career, 40 yards and more, 78%. Inside 40, from 30 to 39, 94%. You get to the 30 with 35 seconds left. You settle for 1 run for 2 yards instead of a 46-yarder with a kicker that's notorious for kicking it low. He's already had a field goal blocked this year. You don't work to get it closer? He's worried about a fumble?
Unbelievable, Kevin.
You have less than 1% chance historically of fumbling. Meanwhile, if you have gained a few more yards, at least for Cairo Santos, you get the increased odds of a make by 15-20%.
He's a little guy. You want to get him as close as possible. He doesn't have a lot of size to him. He's a slight kicker.
He settled for 46.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Eberflus, there's a reason why he won't have a job next year either.
And with Caleb Williams there as your quarterback, if you really like Williams – and a good, solid team, pretty much. Boy, that's a hell of a lot more attractive job than what we have here.
Well, listen, right now, as bad as he is right now, Trevor Lawrence is probably more attractive than the Jets and the Giants for whoever takes over for Peterson. That's how bad it is here in New York.
You mean to tell me you don't think he can turn around Trevor Lawrence?
Any offensive coach worth his salt thinks he can.
You don't think Ben Johnson would love to sit there and say, oh, I got a chance to turn around Trevor? All right, there I am.
All right, Rams beat New England 28-22. They moved to 5-5. Stafford had 4 touchdowns. Miami, they beat the Las Vegas Raiders 34-19. Tua, 288-3. Minnesota beat Tennessee 23-13. They're 8-2. Donald had 2 touchdowns, and he ran for 1 also. Denver beat Atlanta 38-6. Bo Nix, 4 touchdowns, 307 yards passing. They go to 6-5. Atlanta drops to 6-5. And the Chargers beat Cincinnati 34-27. They move to 7-3. Cincinnati goes to 4-7. Dobbins had a late touchdown after Cincinnati basically gave up a 21-point lead. Unbelievable. Darren?
This was the game of the weekend to me. This game was great. Chargers jumped out. Bengals came back. Burrow did everything you could. Chase, after the game, calls out everybody.
Yeah.
Calls out Zach Taylor. Calls out the coaching staff. Calls out everybody. I know you're frustrated with the loss, but, my God, you know, this is a team that's been to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. You know the defensive guys obviously don't have the defensive backfield they once did, and it shows. I mean, Britt actually got benched for a good chunk of that game as their number one corner. But I was stunned to see Chase come out. He's usually not one of those vocal guys. They've been banged up with T. Higgins. They've been banged up with a bunch of guys, even though Higgins did play. Cincinnati is still one of those teams that you feel like has the talent to turn it around if they could just get a little break here or there. But obviously it's not going to happen this year the way it looks right now for them.
They're 1-6 in one score games this year.
Yep. They lose a lot.
And even this game, you know, at 27-27, twice they sent McPherson out there with a chance to take the lead. He missed from 48 and 51. I know they're a little long, but still, McPherson, you expect to make at least one of those two.
Yep.
And the funniest part about it, Kev, is that the NFL now, you expect everything inside of 55 to have a really good shot of going. That's where kicking has. When we were kids, it was everything inside of 40. Now it's really 50. I mean, you expect it to go now. I mean, if you miss a 48-yarder, that's a bad miss. It used to be like, oh, it was long, but now it's a different sport.
Well, when Dallas sent out Aubrey for 62, most of you expected him to make it.
You expected him to make it.
And he didn't make it.
And he slipped on one kick, but outside of that, he was perfect.
He made it from 62. I think they were offsides, and they took the points off, and then the guy stalled down.
Exactly.
And they lost 3 points.
Actually, it was the head slap of the snapper, I think, right? Wasn't that the one where he smacked him in the head, so he got the 15, and they moved him close? But, yeah, I mean, but now – and McPherson's a guy with a leg.
Yeah.
And for him to miss two, and he hooked them both same way, hooked them both left. I mean, Tucker, Zuerlein, who'd been good for most of his career, and now McPherson, who's a younger guy. A lot of kickers struggling this year. Koo missed, three the week before. Another guy that's kind of automatic. Kicking has become an issue, Gino.
I know.
Everybody can hit for 50.
Exactly.
But, you know, that Cincinnati, that Bengals, though, you know, inside the last 2 minutes, you know, both of them have very quick three and outs that they both punted. And then the Chargers, credit to them, you know, they took over from their own 16 without a lot of time left. It took three plays. It was McConkey for 28 yards, McConkey for 27, and Dobbins a 29-yard run. Terrible.
Herbert's good. Herbert's
terrible
a good quarterback.
Job by the defense.
Yeah, Herbert's a good quarterback, though.
Yeah, and
he's an upper echelon quarterback. I mean, listen, he's not top five in the league, but he's probably top 10 to top 12 and maybe ascending.
And when you watch Harbaugh on the sidelines, you hear Harbaugh in press conference, you can tell Harbaugh loves Herbert.
Harbaugh,
right? He played for Ditka, who used to rip the crap out of him.
Yeah.
And he builds up every quarter. He built up McCarthy in college. He builds up every quarterback he has because he knows what it's like playing for a coach that was just downright nasty to him.
Yeah.
Ditka used to tear this kid apart. And I think, and not kid, he's older than us, I think. But Harbaugh is definitely a big proponent of Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
All right, six teams on the bye week 12. Atlanta, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, New Orleans, and the New York Jets. We're going to go into NFL picks right now. At the moment, Gino is 14-19, Darren 16-16-1, and Kev 21-11-1. Doing very well, helping us get through this year.
I fought my way back to 500. I'm proud.
All three of us were 2-1 last week. Hopefully we can keep this going. If you guys have looked at the schedule, I don't see a lot of great games this week.
There's about four or five that are worth watching. The Harbaugh brothers playing each other.
Exactly.
San Francisco at Green Bay, still a big game. Arizona, Seattle becomes a big game.
Eagles,
and the Rams, and Detroit, Indy. I'm going to put that because just because the Indy's at home is the only reason.
Yeah. Kev, you have the honors. We're going round robin today, but you have the honors. Where do you want to start?
First one, you just mentioned it, Darren. I'm grabbing Detroit. This team looks unstoppable. I don't think Anthony Richardson comes out and throws and completes 60% of his passes again. I'll take Detroit minus 7.5.
Go ahead, Darren.
I'm taking the Rams plus 2.5 against Philly at home. I honestly think that when they're healthy, that tandem with Stafford, Williams, Nacua, and Kupp is virtually unstoppable. If the offensive line can just give Stafford a few minutes, I think they can score on anybody. I'm taking the Rams at home, getting 2.5.
All right, my first choice is I'm going to Kansas. I'm going for the Chiefs this week, minus the 10.5 against the Panthers. Panthers are horrible. I think the Chiefs want to get back on track after last week's game. Mahomes definitely throws some touchdowns this week. Chiefs minus 10.5 is my first pick. Kev?
Yeah, I like that pick too. I'm going to take Miami at home, laying the 8 against New England. I think Miami knows that they need to put a run together here. You know, there's still room for them in the playoff picture here. I think with Tua back, now he's back for about 3 games or so. He's getting into the rhythm here. And, you know, they've got so much speed on that offense. When they get clicking, I think they can outscore New England easily.
Okay, Darren?
I'm going to take the other LA team. I'm going to take the Chargers on Monday night against Baltimore, getting 2.5. I think that Jim owes John one after the Super Bowl loss. I'm going to take I'm going to take the one brother to beat the other brother in this one.
I add them too, Darren.
All right, I'm going to Green Bay. I'm taking San Francisco plus the 2.5. San Francisco needs this game. They know they need this game. I think McCaffrey doesn't let them lose this game. San Francisco plus 2.5 is my second choice. Kev, your third choice?
Yeah, so I would like Kansas City. I like the Chargers. Part of me wants to go head-to-head against Darren with the Eagles. But you know what? I think he's going to rally this team. I'm going to go with Tommy Cutlets getting 6 points at home against Tampa Bay. I don't think Tampa's all that good. I think there's a chance for Tommy to at least put up a performance here and give the Giants a chance to win.
Okay, Darren?
I'm going to take the Bears getting 3.5 at home against the Vikings. I think that it's a divisional game. They're home. They might lose by 3, but I'm getting 3.5. And I think that it's just one of those things where the Bears will play just as physical as Minnesota will, and it'll come down to if Caleb can match what he did last week. So I'm going to take the Bears.
Okay. Kev, I want to go head-to-head with you because I don't think the Giants are winning this week at all. I think they're getting blown.
But I almost went head-to-head with you, Gino. I almost took Green Bay, but I held back.
I'm going Houston. I'm taking the minus the 8.5 against Tennessee. They just finished the blowout. They're going back to scoring a lot. Nico Collins is back. I think Stroud gets back on track this week. Mixon got back on track last week. I think it's Stroud's turn this week. Houston minus 8.5 is my third choice. Right. And that will conclude NFL picks for week 12.
Darren? Any other comments before we wrap it up, boys?
Not NFL, nope.
We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren here with Kevin and Gino talking about the wonderful, wild, and wacky world of sports. A wacky world where if Woody would have just stayed in London, this may never have happened. But he didn't. He came back, screwed us all up. Listen, download the podcast anywhere you can get a podcast, whether it be a Spotify, TuneIn, Audio Boom, whatever you like. We're on YouTube, even though last week's episode did not get up. We had a little bit of a technical glitch. We'll try to get this week's up. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.